Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Marvin. Oh, let me out of here.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, turn your radio down, please.
Yes. Good morning. How are you this fine morning?
I'm excellent. How are you, ma'am?
I'm blessed, thank God, through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I was calling to... Is that still an echo?
No, it's fine now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you turn the radio off, there will be no echo in my ears.
I was calling. I've been going through some problems, and I've been to ER a few times, and they keep telling me there's nothing they can do for me.
But when you say, did you say you've been to the ER a few times or two times?
A few, F-E-W.
Well, how many times is that actually?
About four or five times.
Okay. Is that this year?
This year. Within the month.
Well, when you go over this last month, what do you tell them when you show up?
Well, when I go, I'm kind of in a hurry to get there because of, I don't know why it's happening. Like the other day I was reading my Bible and just reading, nothing going on around me or anything to cause it that I know of. And all of a sudden I just come as to just shaking, and it felt like my heart was just trying to beat out of my body. And made me very nervous. You know, I felt very nervous. So I jumped up and took my blood pressure, and it was extremely, extremely high. I think it was 180 over 108. Pulse was like 122.
Well, can I talk about that just for a second?
Certainly.
And I'm just trying to oversimplify this. I'm not saying this answers every possible circumstance. I mean, that is the challenge of radio, right?
Right.
It's not like I can get my hands on you and examine you. But to make a long story short, you have in medicine what's called the pulse pressure gap. So you take your diastolic, and let's just use your numbers. Did you say it was 180 over 108?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what's the difference, just using basic subtraction or the minus sign arithmetic? You're going to... Yeah, you got to turn the radio completely off.
I did.
Okay, thank you. Otherwise, there's this high-pitched squeal in my ear, and I can't hear anything. So
right,
thank you very much. So there's 72 points difference. So at the very least, if we break this down, anything above a 45-point difference. So if your blood pressure was 120 over 80, I wouldn't be talking to you about this.
Right.
But when your blood pressure is 180 over 108, at the very least, at that moment of time, you were under the influence of excessive amounts of adrenaline or stress hormones. And so when you have a difference of 72 points between the top number and the bottom number, which is your diastolic, that would be you had a pretty good surge of adrenaline, which the other day an older lady drove her car through an office two doors down from mine. And I ran out there real quick, and I tried to make sure everybody was okay. Her airbag never even deployed, but I said, ma'am, are you okay? But she was just shaking, and that's what you would see with an adrenaline dump. Just excessive amounts of adrenaline, which what happened was, I'm pretty sure she hit the accelerator instead of the brakes. You think that could probably be the reason why she went up over the curb and the concrete sidewalk into the building? It had to be that. Anyway, but she wasn't real responsive because she had an adrenaline dump. I mean, you've seen people have stress, and after the stress is over, they say, I've got to lay down. I'm just exhausted. So that's one component of this. If you showed up the emergency room, and you're terrified, and you're scared, and you're nervous, and you're anxious, and you're shaking, and your heart is just beating out of your chest, one component would be you had this unnatural surge of adrenaline. Which, would you believe me if I told you the vast majority, or maybe the majority of all blood pressure controlling medications, they're called beta blockers. And what does a beta blocker do? It's a beta adrenergic, and that refers to adrenaline receptor blocker. So those very drugs they use to control and regulate blood pressure, what they're doing is they're trying to block the effects of adrenaline upon our body. So what I'm getting at is, adrenaline is useful to save your life. If we look up and I say, there is a piano falling from 10 stories up and it's about to crush my head, what am I supposed to do? Stand there and look at it and say, Oh, I think it's a Steinway. No, maybe it's not a Steinway. Maybe it's a Guggenheim piano. No, I'm supposed to. That's what adrenaline does. My pupils dilate. Mm-hmm. I have a rush of oxygen and sugar to my muscles so I can get out of the way of the piano that's falling. Have you ever had a snake try to strike at you?
Oh, no.
I have. And it's without thinking. You don't have a chance to go, I wonder if I should jump out of the way. No. It's just a normal human reflex. It's called the startle reflex, but you get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you're in a state of just quiet and calm, what's causing that to happen?
Well, it doesn't change the facts. The fact is, if your blood pressure shoots up, if your pulse rate goes up to 120, you still had this very inappropriate surge of adrenaline. That's just part of it. I'm not saying I'm answering every question,
mm-hmm.
but you're asking a very good question. There is no snake trying to bite me. A man is not, breaking my door with a machete so he can come in and attack me. So none of that's happening. Now, I have to say this in reverse. There are two parts to our nervous system. One is called the parasympathetic nervous system, and the other is called the sympathetic nervous system, which is what I've been talking about. If there is a difference of 72 points between your systolic and your diastolic, I'm just doing reverse engineering here to figure out what the problem is. So if your parasympathetic nervous system is not as strong as it should be, or it's been weakened a bit, that's when you can have these very untimely, inappropriate surges of adrenaline out of the blue for no particular reason. So let me just do it in reverse. And again, can you appreciate that I'm trying to simplify this and break it down to where I can discuss it with you and make it sound real simple? It's more than what I'm saying, but it doesn't do any good to be overly wordy. So let me say it this way. The things that I tend to look at when situations like this come up, I tend to look at what is going on with the adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
Because the adrenal glands are going to be the source of adrenaline. And when the adrenal glands are very, very strong, that's when they're very, very calm. They just are. But when the adrenal glands are weakened, or maybe they're not working as efficiently as they should, that's one situation where it's very easy to have these highly inappropriate surges of adrenaline. And so I would look to the adrenal glands and to the adrenal health.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at that, I also have to look at blood sugar issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things that I look at a person's diet. If over the last, and maybe what I really want to say is, these things don't just happen out of the blue. It's over a long period of time that you get these surges of blood sugar and these adrenaline surges. And then over time, your body just starts becoming a little bit more callous to it.
Okay.
So is there any chance that you have gone from completely perfect, radiant health over the last 10 years to all of a sudden you just woke up this month with these problems? Or have you seen a decline in your health, or maybe compared to the way that you used to function and the way that you used to feel, has there been a change for the worse?
Well, just all of this. I mean, I have been going for a little while of being diabetic. I didn't.
Okay, well, there you go. That's complete, total loss of being able to control blood sugar,
mm-hmm.
which that's going to affect adrenaline and cortisol. And, of course, this is a radically, I'm giving you a different concept than what a medical doctor would. No offense to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't just wake up one day and have diabetes. There has to be a catastrophic failure over time. And so, are you completely happy with your health prior to this?
Prior to all of this, fairly
okay,
well.
But you did have a diagnosis of diabetes, right?
Right.
And you're comfortable with that, correct?
Not really.
Okay, well, you're giving me two different answers here. Which one am I supposed to, which answer?
I mean, I don't think anybody is satisfied with having diabetes, but,
But you were telling me that you were at peace with all your symptoms and the medications and everything else, right?
Oh, no. I thought you meant prior to all of that, being diagnosed and all that.
Well, you've been to the ER 4 or 5 times this month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
How long have you had a diagnosis of diabetes?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, somewhere in the early 90s.
Okay, so at the very least, we're talking well over 20 years.
Yes.
Okay. Has the diabetes been reversed?
No.
Okay, which form is it? Because there's two different types. Let's just say there's type 1, which could easily be due to an autoimmune disease that attacks the pancreas, and then the pancreas,
type 2.
Okay, so over the last 20 years, what has your doctor mapped out for you to try to reverse the diabetes? Has he helped you lose weight at all?
Not really. They did give me an eating plan, which I pretty much go by.
Well, it hasn't worked.
No, not really.
I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but if the eating plan has not reversed the diabetes or turned the tide, then it's not specific enough to... Well, just give me an idea. Here's what I'm scared about. If they tell you to eat a bowl of oatmeal for breakfast, and this is just one example, and a glass of orange juice, then that's just going to be disastrous.
And that's what I don't do. I do oatmeal, though.
Well, what do you have for breakfast?
Well, I haven't had breakfast as of yet, but this morning I probably would have a bowl of cereal.
What I would get at is, when you have, and don't take what I'm saying as being critical. I'm trying to do two or three things here. Number one, in my heart, I really want to encourage you. I am just not the master communicator, but I'm trying to get better, because if I can communicate more accurately what the situation is and what steps you need to take, then we can start to see a reversal. And that's what I would call healing. That's what healing would look like.
Yeah.
If you went to the doctor and he said, oh my word, what are you doing? We're going to have to lower your medication. You no longer require this because your body's regained function. Of course, my wife asked me the other day, she says, what do you exactly mean by radiant health? I sort of laughed at her, but I thought, what would be the opposite of darkness? Anyway, so you can usually tell when a person is becoming more radiant in their healing because they look better, they feel better, they're more productive, they're capable of more. I started to say more work. That might offend people, but if you like work, it's all good. And so let me give you a different take on this. When you start your day with heavy, heavy starches and or things that are converted into sugar, you're taking a weak system that may not be able to process sugar so well. And that's what diabetes is. The body's just overloaded with sugar. That's one simple explanation.
Well, I've been having to eat quite a bit, too. I've been having blood sugar drops. That's not normal for me. This has been in the past.
Well, what kind of medications are you taking for the diabetes?
They have me on lisinopril and amlodipine. Oh, that's for blood pressure.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
but you're doing me a favor, though, because you're showing me you're taking all these drugs to reduce the effects of adrenaline and sugar upon the heart and the arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And so the end effects, and I know this is going to sound horrible, do you want to become blind one day?
Oh, no.
Do you want to have severe neuropathy where you can't feel your
feet?
I
don't want any of that.
Do you want to have chronic infections of your toes or your feet where you lose a limb or a leg?
No.
Well, we might want to change the course that you're on. So what I want is, I want you to consider something that doesn't put such a strain on your insulin. And that's what fat does.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep going back to what the original diet was. When a baby comes into the world, mother's breast milk, I'm talking about a human mother. I don't know what the milk, the fat content is of a pig or a monkey. I don't know that.
Right.
I could look it up if I had a manual in front of me. But mother's breast milk is 54% pure fat, 7% protein, which is one of the reasons why if you and I go to Walmart today or go to the grocery store or Sam's Club or the, you know, Super Gallo Mercado Market, what we're going to find is if a young mother is pushing a baby around in the shopping cart and the baby has an abnormally large size head, well, then I can surmise, not trying to be judgmental or critical, that baby was not fed mama's breast milk. That baby was fed formula, because formula is 9% protein versus 7. But even these subtle little bitty differences, which I don't think that's subtle, but even these differences in man thinking he's smarter than God, what we have is we have babies that are prone to diabetes from the get-go. That's why I want you to have you have grandkids probably, but I want them to have babies that are 7.5 pounds. When you have a baby that's 11 pounds, that kid is like doomed from the get-go to have blood sugar issues their entire life. So let me reverse all this. I want the bulk of your calories to be from fat. I realize nobody else is going to tell you this stuff.
True, because they said that I had high cholesterol.
That means your body's trying to repair yourself and your hormones are out of balance. That's what that means.
Okay.
It doesn't mean anything else.
Okay.
Any other interpretation of that would be wrong because I'm always right about that.
Well, they're on my case because I'm not taking the pravastatin. I've heard you talk about the statins. So
well,
I
mean,
like
isn't that the
angry or upset.
Isn't that the purpose of trying to educate you is to get you into a position where you can make the good decisions to heal? So, number one, start your day with a high fat meal. What would that look like? Make yourself an omelet for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Drink water. But if you start your day with a bowl of cereal, okay, can I just be very blunt?
Sure.
I'm good at that. I'm very good at being black.
That's good.
I think that's the way that God wired me. But you're never going to get well if you eat cereal for breakfast, ever. Never. It's not going to happen.
Well, I eat it. I'll have one cup, and I'll have blueberries and a banana. And I'll tell you why I was doing that. Remember I was telling you how I wake up with low, low blood sugars? Usually if I'm at 81 or 82, it'll start me, like, shaking and stuff. I know it's dropped. And I'll try to eat something. I'll be thinking I'm eating something healthy rather than drinking orange juice. Of course, I don't buy orange juice. It's too much sugar in it. But I would do that, you know, eat the cereal with fruit and so forth to build it up rather than have juice
and
candy.
How much exercise do you participate in every day?
I got to get back into that, Dr. Morgan.
Okay. Have you ever heard the term that exercise is called invisible insulin?
Okay.
You don't even need insulin to get sugar into the muscles to burn them for fuel if you're exercising.
Well, one of the reasons that I kind of slowed down, I was doing good until all this started happening.
Probably your doctor called you on the phone and said, ma'am, I have no interest in you exercising.
No.
Stick with the cereal for breakfast. And I want to increase stress in your family. And I'm going to see what that does to your diabetes. Is that what they did?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know where I was.
Well, the point is, if you lose weight, you're reversing diabetes.
I've lost a lot of weight. I was 204. I'm like 150 now, maybe.
Well, I know, but at the end stage of diabetes, you'll lose weight just because you can't absorb nutrients. I don't know which stage you are. I don't have a magical way. I don't have a crystal ball at the radio station.
Right.
But I would say if you no longer require diabetes medications or blood pressure medications, that's what healing would look like.
Correct.
Because we need your arteries to become more flexible and pliable because you'll only live as long as your organs live. And the last time I checked, if I go over to the dialysis center, which used to be the old Gibson's building here in Jacksonville, I can sit out there on my lunch break all day long. I can do my own field research. 70% of all people that walk in the door are black. Which means that there is a weakness toward kidney issues. I don't want you to lose your kidneys or your pancreas.
Neither do I.
And so how much exercise would it take to reverse this? I say about an hour and a half a day.
Okay.
So I'm saying that as gentle encouragement. But if you've been to the emergency room, we've got to get your blood sugar under control.
Mm-hmm.
It's not under control.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the definition is I'm really happy with it being
207. No.
Okay. So if you want to feel good, you might want to do some research on what should a person eat. Of course, I guess that's a bad suggestion on my part because depending on where you go to, you may get all the wrong advice. I would just recommend that you read the book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration that was written back in 1938 by Weston A. Price. That's probably the easiest one that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would take a look at that book, it's easy to procure. You can get it anywhere you want. Well, actually, they don't sell it at Walmart. I've already looked for it. But you can get it on, you know, any other bookseller that you want. So if you read that and you become convinced that modern genetically modified starches and sugars are diabolical, then, yeah, we got a starting place. But these are very deep conversations, but your minerals are just severely imbalanced. And your stress, you got a hair trigger on your adrenaline.
Okay.
So start those things. Start eating omelets for breakfast. I want you to eat those high, high, high cholesterol eggs.
Now, if you're, they're saying, what do you call it, your artery is building with plaque.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling me that's from fat.
Well, they're telling you what's wrong.
Right.
I don't know what the definition of a word L-I-E is, but I think I do.
Oh, that makes two of us an untruth.
No, the only, and I know this is going to sound overly simplistic, but the number one factor that triggers plaque formation within the arteries would be insulin.
And I'm not on insulin as far as, you know, medically.
Exactly. However, type 2 diabetes is called insulin resistance. It's not because you have too little insulin. It's because you have way, 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 way too much. Your body is severely overproducing insulin. Severely. And what that does is it causes bone cells to migrate from your bones where they do belong and where they're supposed to live. Because in the bones, if a living bone cell secretes this calcium calcified matrix, then you're going to tell me, hey, my hips feel good. I've got a great set of bones on my body. Whoops, I just fell. I bounced right back up. Nothing happened to me. Those are good bones right there. But insulin is the number one trigger for causing this calcified plaque to build up in your arteries. Because bone cells start living and growing in your arteries when you have excessive insulin. Now, sugar is not the only thing, or starch or cereal is not the only thing. Stress can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't want to confuse anybody, but the more stressed you are, the more insulin your body secretes in response to that stress. So as always, there's going to be many different avenues. I mean, just to cut to the chase, high-fat meats are what I would recommend. Eggs, ribeye steaks, T-bone steaks, good roast is very, very tender. If you tell me you want to have full-fat cottage cheese for breakfast that's high in sulfur with your blueberries, I'd say go for it. Now we're in business. If you tell me you want to have a nice, generous omelet for breakfast with sautéed onions and mushrooms and whatever else you like to add to it. When we get bell peppers from the garden, that's usually what my wife will cut up. You know how spoiled rotten I am?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, I am totally spoiled rotten. If I say, Ruth, come on, woman, make me an omelet. She will stop changing diapers. She won't mop the floor. She'll say, yes, my lord, I will make it for thee, O master.
The way you talk about your wife makes me want to meet her.
Oh, you'd love her. She's hilarious.
Oh, I believe
she's
that.
She's probably laughing at what I'm saying right now, going, Roy, people, you know what she tells me? She says they don't know that you're joking when you say those things. They think that you're really being factual and accurate. And I'm going, Ruth, surely there's one or two people that know that I'm just joking when I say stuff like that. I know one thing. If I did that, I probably wouldn't get an omelet, would I?
You may not.
But if I said, sweetheart, the way that light is coming through the window right now and your hair is just glistening, do you know your skin is quite glowing and radiant?
Make two omelets.
Yeah, I'd have two omelets. I'm not even sure one with her, right?
That's it.
If you started doing that, but you've got to get the idea of you got to have low-starch vegetables.
Low-starch.
Cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli,
I eat a lot
kale.
Of that.
I know about kale. I know. Just hold it right there.
Okay.
That's good, but you got a serious issue right now, and I don't want you to die because adrenaline is going to destroy your heart. So you might look at
a heart murmur.
I'm not surprised.
Okay.
I'm not the least bit surprised because you can't have all these surges of adrenaline and insulin and greatly elevated blood sugar without it just beating the crap out of the heart itself. The heart can only take it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But you're already taking blood pressure medication because your heart's becoming too stiff. And your arteries are too stressed and too stiff. And so that's one of the reasons why I recommend exercise, because I want you to burn off your insulin and your adrenaline.
Okay.
But in the meantime, eating a high-fat diet, in my mind, is the way to go. You know what I'm going to eat for breakfast today? I'm probably going to have an omelet. Because my wife is thinking, you know what? I really like the way he talks about me on the radio. I think I'm going to go ahead and make him an omelet right now. That way when he rolls in, it'll be there. So you've got to get in, you've got to wrap your mind around reducing protein, reducing carbohydrates, increasing fat. But it has to be good fat. And if it's grass-fed beef, I call that good fat. If the chicken's
where do you find those kind of meats?
Well, where do you live?
I live in Tyler.
Do you have the internet at your house?
No.
Okay. Do you ever go to the library and use it?
No.
Do you go to the granary?
Yes.
Bingo. Ask them. They've got it in the freezer. So it's anywhere you want. You just have to look for it. Otherwise, you just have to assume it's raised on a feedlot in Kansas somewhere. And the feedlot, yeah, and the feedlot may be shoveling tons of corn into the cows. But you buy eggs from a local chicken farmer. That may not be. That doesn't even sound right, chicken farmer. Hey, does anybody know any chicken farmers out there? But somebody, okay, somebody that raises chickens. How about that?
I understood what you meant.
But when the chickens get to eat June bugs and earthworms and grass and seeds and things, stuff like that, that's what you want. So when you start eating things, I'm just trying to get you started.
Yes.
And then if you want to take it further, maybe you could have an evaluation from somebody that can determine which systems in your body need the most attention.
Okay.
But you do need to start exercising about an hour and a half a day.
Okay. I can do it. Now, she did tell me to do that.
When did she tell you that?
That's been a little while.
Well, how long?
Back. Oh, approximately, I've been going to her now, I guess about 4 months, 4 or 5 months maybe.
Well, okay, so what does she say is your course of action to reverse your disease?
Basically just exercising and taking my meds.
Okay, well, half of that equation will work. The other half will fail. I'll let you guess which half will work and which half will fail.
Yeah.
So if you will, just consider there's a different way. And have you gone to the bookstore to buy any books on how to reverse diabetes naturally?
No, I have not.
That might be a good suggestion. You might even go to Barnes & Noble today and just say, hey, I'm going to go look and see what their offerings are on how diabetes is reversed, because it's a very deep topic. I'm just trying to give you a simple, short and sweet, but you're probably very low in vitamin C. You're probably
vitamin C every day.
You're probably very, very low in sulfur.
That's a possibility.
Well, you know where the highest occurrence of diabetes is in all of the world? It's in Mississippi, where there's no sulfur in the soil. Do you know where the lowest occurrence of diabetes is in the United States? It would be in Oregon, where they have the highest amount of sulfur in the soil. That's why if you get into the idea of, well, maybe I should just eat broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and kale and Brussels sprouts and asparagus and put onions in everything.
Now, a few of those are really my things. The rest of them, no, I can't deal with okra. And
I never said
Brussels
okra.
Sprouts.
I never said
no,
okra.
I know you didn't, but I'm just saying, yeah. Brussels sprouts, they're just too something for me. I've tried.
Too healthy? I'm only teasing
about
it.
It's like a real strong cabbage, like very strong.
Well, anyway, let me know how these things work out, but I want to see all these trips to the emergency room come to a screeching halt.
That makes two of us, and I thank God for that. I take that as touching and agreeing with you.
Look up adrenal exhaustion. Let me know what you come up with.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Appreciate you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. I really did try to incorporate as much information as I could that helps more than one person and covers more than one issue. Sometimes it's kind of subtle, but if you get the gist that I'm trying to deliver information that's good for everybody, I think that's a universal proposition. So, if you want healing to take place and you're not getting anywhere, then we may have to try a different plan or a different strategy. Does that make sense? Good morning and welcome to Health Essentials.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Where are you driving to?
I'm driving to Dallas.
Are you crazy? No, I'm joking. How can I help?
Okay, I see you as a patient, first of all, but secondly, I've been trying to get my blood work better, and my B12 is doing great, but my platelets are low. And my vitamin D is still really, really low. It's still only 27.
Are you taking vitamin D?
Yes. You have me on 10,000 units a day.
And how long have we been doing this?
Since July, but I've been doing 10,000 a day since January.
How much time do you spend out in the sun to activate the vitamin D?
I'm in the sun usually on Saturdays for about 45 minutes.
Okay, that's really not enough, but probably your job does not allow you to get out in the sun more than that, right?
Correct.
Well, in simplicity, I would say, number one, the amount of grains that we consume because of the chemical substrate they're made of blocks absorption of vitamin D in some people. That's just their genetic makeup. Are you avoiding wheat?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What's your blood sugar doing?
My blood sugar is doing better. Back in February, I was on cortisone and a lot of other things. I was up to 7.4 A1C.
Mm-hmm.
And my A1C from August was 6.3.
Well, let me say it this way. There is one organ system within the body that's responsible for the vast majority of conversion of the inactive form of vitamin D from cholesterol into the active form. That's called the kidneys. So the kidneys are always one of the organ systems I'm wanting to improve. Now, personally, I think the hardest thing on the kidneys of all time is going to be any sugar or starch that's more than what your body can handle. The good things, to flip the coin and say what is good for the kidneys, the kidneys love things that are green. Green, 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 green. The more green, the better for the kidneys. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And so, you mean your vitamin D level hasn't budged since July?
It went up 7 points.
Okay, well, there are... Now, let me say this in reverse, and you're going to have to forgive me, but I don't even know who this is on the phone. Normally, I have everybody's voice memorized, but I don't have yours memorized, evidently. So don't take that the wrong way. Don't take that as a personal offense, but if it's only gone up 7 points, then I would question, number one, and these are just general terms because I don't have an image in my mind right now, but if I had my way, I'd say I'd look at the fat cells. Fat cells, do you know what the word covetous means?
Yeah.
For some reason, the fat cells are covetous for any vitamin D that goes in the body, so if a person is overweight, then that's definitely one avenue that I'm trying to correct. As they lose weight, it makes it much easier to increase vitamin D levels. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So usually, it's a no-brainer. When someone's pretty trim and slender, you can get their vitamin D levels up really, really fast. But vitamin D is very unusual in that that particular fat-soluble vitamin, it's almost as if you have to kind of completely fill up your gas tank with it before it starts doing all the good things or accomplishes all the proper tasks that's designed to do. So sometimes if a person carries more body fat than what they should, that will suck up, use up, like a sponge, the vitamin D that comes into you. So what we may have to do is, for a short period of time, we may have to double that dose of vitamin D and see if there's a radical change, because it may be that your fat cells are acting as a sponge to covetously and jealously soak up the vitamin D for its own evil devices. So we may have to double that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
Now, what was your question that you asked me? I completely got off track.
Okay. Well, my platelet count is still on the lower end of normal, and so I'm wanting to push that up, too.
Oh, I know who this is now. You're driving a Subaru, aren't you?
No.
Well, okay, I don't know who it is then. Could you give me your first name? Nobody will know.
Leilani.
Okay. Oh, I completely understand. Thank you. Yeah, but I saw you that one time back in July and haven't seen you since, right?
Right. It's been a conflict.
Right, but it's gonna take time, and so I don't know what additional recommendations, but when you have a low platelet count and a low white blood count, my main concern is that you have a tired and exhausted immune system. And so we have to work through this pretty aggressively to turn that around. And so let me think. What can I tell you easily? Do you take anything like echinacea at all?
I haven't.
Well, that's a simple strategy because that bolsters immune function. But I would give you the most generous information. Have you completely stopped eating wheat at all?
I'd say for the most part, yes.
Okay, excellent. Do you do a pretty good job of avoiding refined sugars?
I'm trying to do the natural sugar, like fruit and things like that.
Excellent. Well, since I saw you that one time back in July,
right.
What's happened to your body since I've seen you? Have you lost a pretty significant amount of weight?
I've lost some weight. I'm down like 12 pounds.
Hey, look at you. You're moving in the right direction. Well, when you have a low platelet count, the two things that you have to consider is you have a continual low-grade infection. And I'm going to oversimplify this. If I push through the cheek into the person's jaw and I find a tooth that's very, very tender, That does not mean that Roy Morgan is pretending he's a dentist. I'm not. I'm just trying to find out if there's a source of continual infection. So, I don't even think it's possible for a person to have a root canal without them causing a infection somewhere else in the body. And what I'm concerned about is, are these chronic infections of bacteria that never, ever go away once a person's had a root canal? Have you had any root canals whatsoever?
I've had two.
Okay, that is a real problem in my mind as far as trying to solve your condition, because I know I'm oversimplifying this. If a dentist wants to call and give his take on root canals, call me up and have at it, buddy. Sometimes it sounds better coming from the expert, even though this is my expertise also. But anyway, if you've had two root canals, then I've got to do my job and due diligence to double check that. Make sure that's just not a complete source of continual infection that never, ever goes away. And that could be easily why your platelet count is super low. So, what do we do in the real world? Do you know what oil pulling is?
Yes.
Do you do oil pulling, or do you participate with that treatment strategy?
I have, with the sesame oil.
Yes, ma'am. I think if it's done every day for about 6 weeks, then you can look in the mirror and say, okay, am I better off for it? But I would also, if the teeth are tender around the root canal, I would say that's very problematic. And at this point in my life, I could almost care less what anybody else has to say about the matter, because it doesn't do any good to take an x-ray and say, I don't see a problem. Well, that's just about worthless. There is a problem there. It just depends on the level of the expertise of the person examining the tooth. And so, did I mention that my father-in-law is a dentist?
No, you didn't.
Okay, that does not make me a dentist, but he's a dentist, but he's a drill and fill and pull the tooth out type dentist, which is a good dentist, but there is almost no qualifications to determine if an old previous root canal is still problematic. But you've got to have some continual low-grade infection. And so just for kicks today, if you want to look up medical studies, you may have to roll your window up.
Okay.
But if you look at medical studies, you're going to find that the white blood cell count starts to dip below 5.4. Probably 80% of all those cases are chronic low-grade infections. Now, whether it is in the tonsils or in the nose or in the turbinates or in the sinuses, whether it be the ethmoids or the maxillary or the frontal, I just almost can't even hear anymore because of the window's down.
No, my window's actually not down.
That was just the road noise and those grooves.
Yes, sir.
Next time when you call, I want you to fly to Dallas. But anyway, there's got to be some low-grade infection. So it's not rocket science. If you push into the tonsils and they're tender, then they're very full of poison right now. And until that's resolved, so we've got to get to the point where that's actually resolved and your tonsils are free of toxic bacterial-causing poisons. And so at some point, that's got to happen. It just depends on how fast you want to get well and how rapidly you want to get well. So do you exercise at all? Because what exercise does is it increases the amount of blood flow through your tonsils and through your teeth.
I do 4 times a week, 40 minutes.
Excellent. Keep it up and double it. We can really increase circulation. And so that's probably what's happening is because of a chronic low-grade infection and because of maybe a little bit more body fat than what you'd like to have, it's soaking up the vitamin D. So even 27, and I'm not trying to be negative by saying this, just general for everybody that's listening, that's pretty abysmal. It's going to be hard to ever overcome infection if it stays at that. So for a short period of time, like maybe a month, maybe you could double the vitamin D3 to 20,000 units. So those are some ideas right there that you can do right now, and let's see if it leads to a good result.
Okay, so will the oil pulling pull the poison out of the tonsils?
It will help. It really will help. I'm not saying it's a complete panacea, but in the real world, there's no such thing as one. If I said, go get a sea sponge and chew on that, that'll pull the poisons out, I'd say that great, but it doesn't do that. And we're going to find there's so many different avenues, because in the real world, I cannot separate the tonsils from the health of your gut. And so we got to improve all of your digestion. I've got to improve how the liver works. Definitely have to improve the kidneys. But what I'm trying to convince you of is if we can reduce the toxins in your body, then that will help. And oil pulling will definitely do that. So
Okay.
Please engage in oil pulling with sesame seed oil, and that will be an aid to you.
All right. I'll do it.
Good deal. Well, thanks for your call, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye. You have a good day. Bye-bye. Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open, 903-586-5257. Sesame seed oil is a lipophilic oil, and it attaches itself or sucks out fat-soluble toxins if you spit it out. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes.
You sound very intelligent, I might add. Is that correct?
Not really, but anyway.
Well, you called me. That's got to be worth something.
Okay. What causes thick blood?
What did you say?
What causes thick blood?
Oh, for a second, I thought you said what causes pig blood. I knew that didn't make sense.
Okay.
Let me break it down to you, sister. Now, just take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, but I really have a point to make with this. Years ago, I read a study that said that the people that have the thickest blood of all time, on recent medical studies across the board, were women and men that skipped breakfast.
That doesn't hit me.
Okay, good. The next category were those that smoked cigarettes.
That doesn't hit me either.
You know what? I'm thankful for both of those. That's good. And so, now, do you mind if I attempt to oversimplify this?
Go right ahead.
Okay. We have an organ. Besides, let's put it this way, when it comes to the heart, you're going to have to turn your radio off. I'm hearing three times every time I say something. I hear my voice three times. Please.
Lori, she said turn off the radio. Okay, he turned it off.
Okay, tell him I said thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear you say thank you to your husband.
That's not my husband. That's my coworker.
Okay, moving right along here.
What?
No, thank you. No, good deal. I'm glad that you called. The organ that has the greatest responsibility over how thick or how thin your blood is the liver.
Okay.
And the liver secretes all sorts of compounds to try to maintain the health of the blood. It works in conjunction with the kidneys, but I would say your arteries are a unique organ system in and of themselves, and their job is to continually lick and drink and taste the blood to make sure it's moving at a high rate of speed. So let me just kind of break it down piece by piece. I can tell you historically that those that have the thickest blood that's more prone to clotting and clumping up, they tend to have very low potassium diets as compared to those that have high potassium or adequate potassium in their diet. So if a person never eats apples, if they don't eat fruits, if they don't like sweet potatoes or avocados, they're probably going to have thicker blood. So what you want is you don't want organs to become weakened or stressed or start to fail where they can't do their work. I don't even remember the last time that somebody said, I need to bring my 2-year-old to you, they have thick blood. That just does not happen. Who would you guess comes to see me with thick blood? It's people that have lived on Earth just a little while, right?
Yeah.
And so if you want to start the process of helping your body, I would say, number one, start drinking more water. Or do you drink plenty of water?
I drink a gallon a day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, don't keep me in the dark here. Why don't you shed some light on your body and your health, and that way I can start to figure this out, because otherwise it's just speculation. See, because I'm just assuming that you live in an apple orchard, and you're picking apples every fall, and you're walking 20 miles a day. That's my picture of you. Is that true?
I'm not walking 20 miles a day.
Okay. Well, then, when you say you drink a gallon of water a day, what else can you tell me?
And you take water. You take lots of water. And I perspire like a man. So the water intake is not a problem. I am a type 2 diabetic.
Okay, there we go. Because what happens is excessive insulin, it causes chronic inflammation in your blood. It causes your arteries to stiffen and to harden. So blood is a very sophisticated organ system. It's more complex than what I am. It's God's design. But when you're a type 2 diabetic, what happens is you have several marks against you for making your blood thicker than what it should be. So reversing the diabetes would definitely help with that. I'm not trying to be an oversimplified individual here, but When you have diabetes, that causes all the arteries to harden and to stiffen. It causes chronic inflammation. It really goes after the blood. So I can give you some ideas. Do you remember the lady that called earlier and I said, have an omelet for breakfast?
Okay.
What do you think about that? Because your body doesn't require one drop of insulin to process fat. And so to me, increasing good, healthy fat from clean animal sources and clean vegetable or fruit sources is definitely the way to go. Now, personally, I never see people lose weight that need to if they're eating nuts. It just doesn't happen. That's a complex topic. I just don't know that I can go into that in real detail unless I want to blow 30 minutes.
I can't eat nuts. I have diverticulitis.
So you have chronic, continual infections in your gut that we need to resolve.
Yeah.
So... you can understand pretty quickly there's a lot more to the story than what is just simplicity, right?
Right.
Okay, well, tell me what you want me to tell you. What's the very best thing I can do to bless you? How can I help you? What do you want to know more than anything else?
Is there anything to clean my system, clean out my liver and clean out my kidneys?
Well, if you can get your insulin levels, let's put it this way, if you can get your blood sugar to drop between 80 and 90 and still feel good, that would accomplish all these things that you want.
Well, during the day, I'm fine. And what my doctor tells me is my liver produces insulin, produces sugar overnight.
Oh, so we have somebody else that's agreeing with Roy Morgan all of a sudden. Isn't that interesting?
Well,
and so what I would do is you need to eat.
How to stop that.
Eat breakfast like a king.
I do.
Eat lunch like a prince.
Sometimes.
Eat supper like a pauper.
Okay.
Because if you eat your heaviest meal at the end of the day, you're putting in excess... Ma'am?
I don't.
Okay. Well, what did you have for supper last night?
A veggie burger.
Okay. What kind of fat is in that?
Huh?
What kind of fat is in a veggie burger?
Nothing.
Well, that's what I'm getting at, is because if you eat... What if you had an omelet for supper? At least we're giving you enough fat. I mean, just put it to the test. You know, I think I'm willing to be a guinea pig with my own body before I ask anybody else to do it. So if I had a two-egg omelet, of course, if my lovely wife made it, it would taste so much better if she made it than if I made it. It's just the way it works. I think I would sleep my very best as compared to having a veggie burger for supper. Because what happens is you have to understand when you're trying to get rid of inflammation in the blood,
uh-huh.
Fat is one of the easiest ways to do that. If a person came to me and said, I've got these chronic infections in my colon called diverticulitis, diverticulosis, diverticuli, I would say let's starve the infection. I mean, the last time I checked, the type of fat that comes in an egg, there's nothing in that fat that the bacteria can convert into energy. But in sugar and starch, there's a whole lot of fuel for the bacteria. So the number one predictor of a chronic diverticular infection that never resolves, never goes away, is the amount of sugar or starch that a person consumes. So I'm trying to starve those little suckers out that are growing in your colon so they won't emit all their TT. I'm sorry, I have kids, so I just don't even know how to talk anymore.
That's okay.
But that's what happens. Bacteria go TT inside of us. It's just that their TT is severe neurotoxic waste that makes us feel sick and yucky and horrible. So there is a book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration written by Dr. Weston A. Price. Uh-huh. It was written in 1938. I like it. So... That's one of the ways that you can educate yourself, because the one thing that I know, knowledge is power. Now, this is what Jimmy would tell me. Jimmy would say, I'm quoting him. I can't believe he's kind of a radical dude anyway, but Jimmy would say, Dr. Morgan, you know what the Lord said was the very first thing that was created? And I say, well, what is that, Jimmy? And he would say, wisdom. So I'm thinking it might be a good application of knowledge, and the more that we know, the more precise you can be. That's when you can start to reverse this. So I'd say keep up with the water. You've got some real mineral imbalances, so I would encourage you to start using either Celtic salt or Himalayan pink salt. Don't use any sea salt or refined salt. It's got all the good stuff taken out of it.
Okay.
Start falling in love with fat that can help reverse all this. It's the only way. I mean, did God really make a mistake by making mama's breast milk very, very high in fat and very, very high in cholesterol? Is that really a mistake that God made?
No.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think so either. It doesn't mean that I understand all the implications. But all these foods are, that we're eating now, they're just genetically modified hybrids. If you go for grass-fed beef, could I talk you and your coworker to going to the coast and catching a few tuna today? I'll pay you for your gas if you'll share them with me. But we need that rich fat that comes from nature. So I would probably say, why don't you, for breakfast today, cook that ribeye steak on the grill. Listen, your coworker's got nothing better to do right now than to go out and fire up the grill and cook a ribeye steak for you, okay?
Right.
And if you want to cook broccoli and put butter all over it and asparagus, do that too.
Well, I use real butter.
Good. I'm going to give you a gold star for that. You get an A-plus on your report card today.
And I drink a gallon of water a day. And
good.
I eat it at breakfast. I usually do. I eat it at breakfast. I was raised on bacon and eggs.
Well, I'm okay with that. I prefer, though, that it's bacon that's not raised on chemicals and antibiotics and hormones.
Well, how are you going to find that?
Well, by going to the store. Do you ever go to Drug Emporium or the Granary?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just ask the guy that's in... I started to say something negative. I'm not going to say that. Whoever's in charge... You don't even know what I was going to say. I was going to refer to a different religion, but I didn't do that.
Okay.
I caught myself before I put my foot in my mouth. That's I need wisdom. I did pray for that this morning before I went on the air. But you can find, for example, there's a company called Applegate Farms. And there's probably about three other companies, and I'm so sorry I can't remember their names, but their claim to fame is producing uncured bacon that's not treated with chemicals, which you don't need in your body. But still, I'm trying to completely twist your mind into eating high sulfur foods so your blood will become cleaner, which I know I'm going to get in trouble for this because it's not a good explanation. And when I say trouble, it's just not precise enough. It's not because it's a disparaging comment. Your body uses sulfur to keep your blood clean and flowing at a high rate of speed, as opposed to thick and dirty.
Okay.
So if you eat high sulfur foods, we can start to cure this. That means garlic. Eggs, grass-fed beef. If you like seafood, I would say go for it, as long as it's clean.
I like seafood. I keep tuna and try to keep salmon at the house.
Do you like radishes?
I love them.
Asparagus, Brussels sprouts, kale, cauliflower?
Never eaten kale.
How dare you say that on the air? You should go and repent right now to the produce section. Buy it and eat it.
Kale?
Yes, ma'am. K-A-L-E.
Yeah, I know what
it has to do. Well, I don't. That's why I did.
But, you know, as a kid, I ate bacon and eggs and fish and chicken. We rarely ever had beef. And I always eat fruits and vegetables. That was
well, what did you weigh when you were 18 years old?
120.
What do you weigh right now?
188.
So all I'm suggesting is something's happened between age 18 and age 28, which is what you are now.
No, I'm not 28 now, sir.
Now, ma'am, don't argue with me. I am the master determining a person's age by listening to their voice. And if I say you're 28, you're 28.
I'm 18 at heart.
Yeah, I had the funniest dream last night. I had a dream that Bobby Bateman was... telling everybody that I was the best 40-year-old doctor. And I looked at him and I said, Bobby, I'm not 40 years old. And he looked at me in the dream and said, if I say you're 40, you're 40. If you knew Bobby, that you'd think that's funny. Anyway, sorry for wasting your time. I'm very bad about that. Go ahead. But what you need to do is if we can get all the – you're asking the best question of all time. I would say foods that have more potassium in them are the ticket. Foods that have more sulfur and magnesium, those are the ticket. But you're going to find out real quick, and I'm going to simplify this for you. foods that are high in starch or high in sugar are not what you want. No. Foods that are high in fat, adequate protein, I started to say low protein, but that's probably not like 100% accurate, are the ticket. Avoiding genetically modified foods, that's the ticket to healing your body. So that's your solution right there. And then if you start exercising pretty aggressively, we will start to have a transformation. Everybody will look at you and say, there has been a great change in your body from age 28 to 29. What is your secret of youth?
Mm-hmm.
They could say that.
Yeah, they could.
So,
yeah, I started losing weight since I changed my diet.
Well, just to encourage you, you will be a different woman when you're 148 versus 188. And usually when we're 18, 19 years old, that's almost our perfect blueprint. I'm not trying to be difficult.
I know.
But when people live a very long time on Earth with very few diseases and they don't have to spend their life savings spending on medicines and surgeries,
mm-hmm.
You know how many people I've seen over the last 25 years? And it just breaks my heart, but there's not anything I can do about it. By the time they come to me, they say, I've spent $600,000 on my health and I have nothing to show for it.
Right.
So, but I want you to be radiant and radically healthy. So we're going to have to take some different steps. And the other ones I can't even start to explain to you because it would just be too much information. But I figured you're a smart girl, and if you want to know, you'll ask. So let me encourage you to do these things. Avoid things that suck the sulfur out of you. Usually I say that's wheat. But just read that book. Nutrition and Physical Degeneration by Weston A. Price from 1938.
Nutrition
and Physical Degeneration. It's got a whole bunch of pictures in it because Roy don't read so good and he needs pictures to keep his interest going.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at the pictures, which they're all in like a sepia print or black and white, man, am I fascinated by that stuff. They show some of the most beautiful specimens of a human being. One of them would be the Maoris from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Now they're all diabetics. Now they're all fat and obese and overweight and full of disease. But back then, they were gorgeous specimens. Have you ever seen the statue of David by Michelangelo?
Yeah, pictures.
Well, you think it's a pretty impressive specimen of a man?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I look like. Out of. I'm joking. I don't. But however, do you really think that it was just the word of God only that was with David when he walked up to the Goliath? Or do you think the Lord was actually with him?
He's with him.
Yeah, but he still had to take a step on faith and pick up those five smooth stones. And he ran toward Goliath. Now, that is one gutsy dude. I don't know that I could do that. But then again, I don't have Goliath in front of me right now to see if I'll run away or if I'll face him. But you just don't get like that unless you follow principles that God has set forth. And that's what I want to teach week after week, is that we can start to gain these concepts. But I know it's radical for me to say to eat eggs because you're having every heart surgeon cringe going, no, chickens are evil. Cholesterol is the deadly sin. Anyway, it's not.
I've never quit eating eggs.
Well, I don't want you to stop. What do you think your health would be like if you had Pop-Tarts instead of eggs for breakfast?
I don't eat Pop-Tarts either.
Well, I know, but what would your health be like had you been eating donuts and Pop-Tarts for breakfast?
Oh, Lord.
Not so great, huh?
Yeah.
So you better call your mom and dad today and say, thanks for feeding me good breakfast when I was growing up.
If I could, I would.
Anyway, we're completely out of time, but I greatly appreciate your phone call. God bless you, and you have a good day.
You